Muy buenos días a todos los hermanos reunidos allá en Santa Cruz, Bolivia.
Good morning to all the brethren gathered there in Santa Cruz, Bolivia, along with the missionary Miguel Bermúdez Marín, who will be today in the morning in the congregation that the Reverend Johnny Zambrana pastors, the Church La Voz del Lugar Santísimo. And in the afternoon, he will be with our brother, the Reverend Adán Gras, Church La Estrella Resplandeciente de la Mañana. Today, Thursday, November 2nd of this year, 2023. And to all those who are also there from different places in Bolivia. And our sister Ruth, our brother Harrison, and all those who accompany him, and everyone who is also watching and listening through the satellite Amazonas or internet. In the Gospel according to Luke, it tells us on the 10th chapter, 13th verse, woe unto thee, Chorazin! Woe unto thee, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works has been done in Tyre and Sidon, which have been done in you, they had a great while ago repented, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. But it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the judgment than for you. And thou, Capernaum, which are exalted to heaven, shall be thrust down to hell. He that heareth you, heareth me. And he that despiseth you, despiseth me. And he that despiseth me, despiseth him that sent me. And the 70 return again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Remember that scripture from the Book of the Seals, page 176. Where it tells us that at the same time that the devil falls from heaven and becomes incarnate, the Holy Spirit goes up and comes incarnate in a man. That is on page 176 in the Book of the Seals. And there in the Book of the Seals, he writes, the Holy Spirit incarnate in a man. He goes on saying on verse 20 of Luke chapter 10, he says, notwithstanding in this rejoice not, that the Spirit are subject unto you, but rather rejoice, because your names are written in heaven. In that hour Jesus rejoiced in the Spirit and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered to me of my Father, and no man knoweth who the Son is but the Father, and who the Father is but the Son, and he to whom the Son will reveal him. And he turned him into his disciples, and said privately, blessed are the eyes which see the things that ye see. For I tell you that many prophets and kings have desired to see those things which ye see, and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear, and have not heard them. A revelation. You may please be seated. In this short chat on this occasion, I want to share with you some places here from the message Perseverant. Tells us, our brother Branham tell us in the sentence at the beginning. He says, Our Heavenly Father, Thou knowest the needs before we even ask. Jesus taught us that your Father knows what you have need of before you ask. But yet, we are to ask. When He looked upon the harvest, He was the Lord of the harvest, and He said, The harvest is ripe, the laborers are few. Pray ye the Lord of the harvest, that He may send laborers into His harvest, making Himself with man so bound together that He works only through the agency of man. He chose man to work for Him. He could have chosen the sun to preach the gospel. He could have chosen the wind, or the trees, or the stars. But He chose man. And there He writes, works by man. Veils Himself inside, hides Himself from the unbelievers, reveal Himself to who He will. Because notice, the scripture that we read there, it is to whom He wants to reveal it to. He wants to show you who He is. Because knowing the instrument in each age and in each dispensation, therefore the person would be knowing the work that God would be carrying out at that time. And if you cannot see the instrument that God sent in each age and in each dispensation, then the person will be lost and will not be seeing the fulfillment for which God sent that prophet messenger in the midst of the people. And so, it is in this end time, in the fulfillment of the coming of the Son of Man with His angels, the fulfillment of that mighty angel of Revelation 10, which comes crying out, roaring, as a lion roars, and seven thunders uttering their voices. It is a work that He is carrying out, and that work is done after making intercession there with His blood, up to the very last elect, which He has already done that work, and to bring the title deed. That is supposed to have already happened in heaven, for Him to leave the throne of intercession. In other words, He could not take that book, that title deed, and bring it to earth and give it to a man while He was making intercession in heaven, which has already taken place. He already finished that work of intercession in heaven. He has taken the book, the title deed, and brought it to earth. And He is crying out, roaring as a lion roaring. And seven thunders are giving their voices to the church bride, as promised and prophesied and spoke in the book of Revelation, which our brother Branham speaks to us and says that the rapture in faith is in the thunders. In other words, the thunders is what the bride needs to leave this earth. And He is fulfilling it in the great tenth cathedral. Notice, all of that is brought to the church bride through that instrument. And everyone who sees and receives the instrument is receiving the work for which He has sent those ministries in the midst of the church, so that the church is not denominationalized in this end time and fulfills the promise of giving the church bride the rapturing faith. He who sees that instrument and receives him in his soul, he who receives a prophet receives the mercy of a prophet. In other words, the blessing that that prophet brings in the midst of the people of God pertaining to that time in which the person is living. And he who receives and sees the work that God is carrying out through him, then automatically the person has to be aware that this is by revelation. And then he says, Lord, thank You that You revealed this mystery to me. You opened to me the mystery of the seventh seal, and now I am seeing the work You are carrying out. But why is he seeing? Because he's looking behind the veil. He's looking at the one who is working through that veil of flesh. Now, look, another part here, where he tells us on paragraph 39, he says, let us see, paragraph 39, it says, Moses, this runaway intellectual, runaway prophet, out on the backside of the desert, and married this beautiful Ethiopian woman, and was living, had a child, little Gershom. And one day, while walking around on the desert, the backside of the desert, an old man of 80 years old, looked like he was plumb out of use as a minister, but he found a bush that was burning with fire and did not consume. And he went aside to see what had happened and come into the presence of God and heard the presence of God, heard the voice of God while he was in his presence, when this pillar of fire was laying in this bush, talking to him, where he was afraid to even go near Egypt, knowing that Pharaoh would take his life. There is nothing going to stop him now. And sometimes when a man gets in the presence of God and hears the voice of God, he does things so radical to the ordinary thinking of people. It sounds ridiculous. The next day now, a man that was afraid to take an army to attack Egypt, all the slaves there was in Egypt, he was afraid to attack Pharaoh like that. Here he is, the next day, 80-year-old, beard hanging all the way to his waistline, his bald head shining, a crooked stick in his hand, his wife sitting on a mule with a young on her hip, going down with his eyes set up, glorifying God. Where are you going, Moses? Going down to Egypt to take over. That was after he had that encounter with God there. A one-man invasion. Why? He had been in the presence of God. He seen what God could do with a stick. He didn't know what he could do with an army. He knowed what he could do with a stick. Remember that God was showing him there all that power of which God was giving Moses to go and deliver his people, the people who were in bondage. I don't know what he can do by denomination. I know what he can do with one man that will surrender himself completely to him. All he needs, one person. That's you. Then he is perseverant. Nothing is going to stop him. Now, notice here how he says, I don't know what he can do by a denomination. God does not deal with denominations. God does not deal with organizations, mainly when it is already spoken that denominations are death. Therefore, God is not there in death. I know what he can do with one man that will surrender himself completely to him. All he needs, one person. That's you. Then he is perseverant. Nothing is going to stop him. Moses had come in the presence of God, heard his voice in a miracle sign. He knowed he was a consuming fire, and he is in the pillar of fire back in a bush. All of his education, all of his theology left him, and he knowed one thing. There was a God, and he had his order. A crooked stick was good enough. He had been in the presence of God. And he draws a cornerstone and the edges and an arrow toward the cornerstone. Where is the presence of God? In the most holy place, in the edge of the cornerstone. And everyone who hears the voice of God through the instrument that God has in this end time, fulfilling the most important stage of the divine program, which is the stage of the age of the cornerstone in this dispensation of the kingdom, he is hearing the voice of God. And that man, that minister, that person who hears the voice of God and surrenders completely to the will of God, That is all that God needs. People surrendering to the Lord, to the will of God, to receive what God brings through that messenger. Now notice on paragraph 45, he goes on saying in a small part, don't make any difference how many trained men Egypt had. Any of these things didn't mean a thing to Moses. He had been in the presence of God, and he was perseverant. He is going down to take over against shield and trained men by the tens of thousands, with a crooked stick in his hand. Stop him if you can. Stop. Try to stop a person who completely surrenders to God. Stop him if you can. That chosen one of God is going straight to hit the target. He is going straight to hit the promises of this end time, which is his transformation. Nothing can stop him. No circumstances can stop him. Because he has met God. Where? In the most holy place. Everyone who is in the most holy place has met God. And there is no one who can stop him. There is nothing can stop him. And he did it. He went down and took over because he was perseverant. When he absolutely knew that he had been in the presence of God and had heard the voice of God out of the presence of God. Amen. Not only the voice was, but it was a scriptural voice. And there he writes, a scriptural voice. Now notice, let us turn to paragraph 62. We're going to read this part here. We find out that Samson, another great judge in Israel, and that some people picture Samson as having a shoulder about like a barn door. Now, it would be nothing strange about that to see a man who could pick up the gates of Gaza and walk out with it, or take a lion and pull him apart. That is, if he had that kind of body, there would be nothing mysterious about it. But you know, Samson was just a little bitty, in the street expression, a little shrimp, little bitty, old, curly-headed, that said, wavy, sissified, mama's boys, seven curls. It was a strange thing when they thought that a man, a great big 10-foot man, could pick up a lion, sure, and kill him. But the strange thing was, this little fellow seemed to be helpless until the Spirit of the Lord come on him. It wasn't Samson. It was the Spirit of the Lord. That's the reason that it wasn't the apostles. Jesus chose them all, practically every one of them, without even enough education to sign their name. He didn't choose priests. He didn't choose theologians. He chose fishermen and herdmen, the ignorant and unlearned, so that he could take that in his hand and take nothing and make something out of it. That's his nature. So he doesn't take trained schools and trained scholars. He takes something that realizes it's nothing. He gets into it and makes something out of it. Those who think they are, no, I'm this, I'm that. I have so much time, I have this other. God does not use people like that. God uses people who allow themselves to be used. He uses the nothing to make them somebody. And God sees the somebody and makes them nothing. We find that this Samson was a Nazarite. He had seven little curls that hung down his back. And when the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, he feared nothing. Why? He was persistent as long as he could feel the Nazarite bow with him. As long as he could reach back here and fell those locks, he knew that he was in the will of God, and nothing could bind him. The city couldn't bind him. Now notice, he could, he says, with his hand feel that he has his seven curls, the seven thunders. Now remember that the seven thunders, each chosen one can feel them. And he can say, because he knew there that he was in the will of God. And nothing. Notice, the chosen one with the seven thunders being heard at this time. Nothing can bind that chosen one to any denomination. That chosen one is holding on to those seven curls, as he says there, that Samson was holding on to. He could feel them. And the chosen one can feel those seven thunders, and nothing can bind him down. No denomination. The city couldn't bind him. A lion couldn't kill him. He took the jawbone of a mule and it dry and beat down 1,000 Philistines with it. Do you know those helmets? Those brass helmets was over an inch thick. You know what would have happened when an old desert dry bone would hit against that? Why? It would burst into a million pieces. But he stood there single-handed with this jawbone of a mule and beating over their head and killed 1,000 Philistines. Why? He was persistent. Every time he hit, he felt the Nazarite vow move back upon him. How much out the church tonight that claims that you are born of the Spirit of God, stand in the meeting and see the vindication of the resurrected Jesus Christ and claim to be filled with the Holy Ghost and could sit still and let Satan push you around like he does? It's a strange thing. As long as you can feel the presence of the Holy Ghost, know that it's His Word and His promise for this day, you should be persistent to press in until it's over. Perseverant. Stay with it. God promised it. It's not you. It's God. Keep standing, persevering, pushing on until you obtain the result. The result of that word, that great voice of the trumpet, those seven thunders thundering, those giving you the faith, so that you and I will soon be transformed. In the book of Quotations on page 118, paragraph 1043, it tells us there, and when God, in any way that He desires to do it, reveals to you the question that's in your mind, there is no more doubt. There is no more question about it. It's a revelation. A revelation. May God bless you, God keep you, and continue, brothers and sisters there in Bolivia, persevering, pressing toward the promises, standing, listening to the voice directly from the most holy place. May God bless you, may God keep you. All the brethren gathered there in the congregation of the Reverend Johnny Zambrana, and also in the congregation of the Reverend Adam Grass, and in all the congregations, Angelo's congregation there, Reverend Angelo Salas, Reverend Christian Jessen, Reverend Rafael Mamani there in La Paz, and all the brethren in La Paz, and all the ministers, men and women, collaborators, brothers and sisters of Bolivia, remain standing, persevering, until you obtain the promise of your transformation. A revelation. May God bless you and keep you all. May you continue having a happy day full of God's blessing. And thank you very much, Missionary Miguel Bermudez Marin, for this beautiful opportunity that you allow me to greet all of you there in Bolivia. May God bless you and keep you all.